hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah penned these words. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's that last title that we want to focus on this month, the Prince of Peace. In this year that has caused us so much distress, so much anxiety, so much division, it's good to think about Jesus as our Prince of Peace. We want to go to Luke chapter 2 this morning and take a look at this. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, which is an angel army, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." A declaration from that angel has two parts to it. One of it is glory to God, peace on earth. Glory to God in heaven, peace to men on earth. A number of years ago, Wendy's restaurants ran a series of commercials that were very popular, and they introduced a phrase or reintroduced a phrase into our popular vocabulary. And the commercial, the initial commercial, featured three older ladies looking at this very big bunned hamburger, and when the top bun was taken off, what they saw was this little patty. And one of the ladies complained, "Where's the beef?" You remember that? Where's the beef? I mean, where's the substance? And that's what kind of came on to. We keep asking, you know, where is that thing we were promised? And we might look around the world today and we see, hear this proclamation from the angels, peace on earth. And we look around and say, where's the peace? Where is this promised peace? We've had wars, we've had famines, we've had all sorts of problems that continued on after Jesus' birth. So where's the peace? Greg Lake, in the early 70s, had a popular Christmas song. You still might hear it today. He was of the band Emerson, Lake and Palmer. And here were the words. They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead, it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. And the song goes on to kind of talk about that loss of innocence. And as you know, we were promised this, but we didn't get it. What do we do? Go back to that statement. Notice what the angel said. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The proclamation is not a peace on earth. Suddenly all wars will cease. There won't be any problem. But there will be peace to those on whom his favor rests. What is this favor? Where does it come from? Favor is another word that be used for grace, upon his grace. Last week for Thanksgiving, I wanted to make a special meal, just, you know, give it that old Thanksgiving time feel. It was just me and Angie and our five-year-old granddaughter, but we were going to take some of that food over to Angie's parents to eat. And so I had a ham, I had green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, and the thing that I was really going to try different this year was a whipped sweet potato casserole. Yeah. You know the kind with pecans mixed in there. and the marshmallows on top. And that's where things went wrong. I got everything right. I was putting that in the oven. It was down in the middle. And I noticed as I kept looking in, all the marshmallows are doing is melting. They're not browning, which, you know, you really need that lightly toasted look to really make it pop, right? They're just melting. And so I realized, you know, we need to turn on the broiler elements, get some heat from above. But I didn't have a lot of space, so I put it on the top rack just below the boiler plate and forgot about it. Until I noticed smoke coming out of the vent of the stove. And I opened it up, and for the first time ever in opening up a stove, I had flames shooting out. Immediately, the smoke alarm is screaming. The granddaughter is screaming. I'm screaming. You know, it's just bedlam. But eventually I was able to get the sweet potatoes out, blow them off. I've had a lot of practice blowing out marshmallows over a campfire, right? There's just 100 of them now. You got to do that too. And then the self-incrimination began to, you know that voice. What do you think you're doing? You can't do anything right. I really wanted this to be special, and I failed. I wanted Angie to have something nice to take to her parents, and I was like, oh, you're an idiot. And I have to storm off into another room for a minute, you know. And then Angie did something very sweet and needed. She said, let's not let this ruin this whole moment. You know, here's all we got to do is just scrape those marshmallows right off the top. And then she threw them in the sink. And I thought, oh, that's a waste of a good marshmallow. She cleaned it off. She cleaned it off. And that may seem so, so simple. But in that moment, it was an act of grace. That's what I felt, was this grace. It's okay. It's fine. And a peace came back into my emotions. And here's what we need to understand. This peace on earth, peace follows grace. It's the grace that leads us to this peace. So often we talk about grace at Easter, but I think this is the perfect time to talk about grace. You know, when there is a tear in our relational fabric, what's happening, you know, bit by bit, you can just keep pulling on it and pulling and pulling apart it. What happens to the two pieces of the fabric? They get further and further apart. When a relationship breaks down, sometimes we'll say, well, you know, somebody walked out. They moved on. They went their own way. What are they doing? Putting distance between themselves. But our God came running to us. He bridged that distance between us. And that's what grace is. How did that happen? Grace reminds us that God, instead of running from us, he ran to us. And that's what Christmas is about. The name that we often hear about Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. We're told, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of, say that word with me, grace and truth. Grace came with Jesus. And with the grace comes the peace. But as we look out on our world right now, we're asking ourselves, where is this peace? I've asked Jeff to sing us a song this morning, or our team to lead us in a song. And you can sing along. You don't have to stand. I just want you to kind of let these words fill your heart, because they ask that question. They ask that question about, where is the peace in a time such as this? Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. that we are able to hear you and know you and understand you. Help us find the peace this Christmas season. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. That psalm becomes more powerful when you realize that the writer wrote it after hearing, it was during the Civil War time, after hearing about the death of family members in the battle. How do you find peace in such a time as this? Paul writes to the Romans, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Some of you may remember some of those TV shows of the last couple of decades where you get some folks on there and they're arguing and they're trying to find out, well, who's the daddy and, you know, this type of thing. And they're going to work out their problems and it turns into a spectacle. I don't know if we watch those shows as much as we used to, because now we can just go to the internet. Now we can just go to our social media feed. And we see these live arguments right in front of them. Just get some popcorn and eat and watch. You know, I used to wonder, where do they find folks that will go on the shows like this? And now we see they're our family and our friends. They're out there everywhere. They're us. We are those people. So if there is going to be peace on earth, we need to understand this. It begins with peace with other people. Those shows make their mark because people are angry at one another. So how do we get that peace with others? October 20th, 2001, Madison Square Garden, there was the concert for New York. This was just about a month and a half or less after September 11th, 9/11. And it was a kind of a telethon. It was supposed to go for a few hours. It went for 5.5 hours. And those that were there say it was just this raucous event. And it featured musicians and speakers and short films and all these same things. It went on for 5.5 hours. It was just this long thing, all sorts of people. The room was mainly filled with firefighters and their families and police officers and families and other first responders, people who were feeling the brunt of the pain of that day because they had lost so many people in their world to this tragedy. One of the speakers was an actor by the name of Richard Gere. And I remember watching this, seeing this and thinking, And here's one of the things he said, a part of what he said, that horrendous energy that we're all feeling and the possibility of turning it into more violence and revenge, we can stop that. We can take that energy and turn it into something else. We can turn it into compassion and love and understanding. Here's the interesting thing. Richard Gere is a well-known Buddhist. As you can imagine, he was booed for those statements. And I thought two things at that moment. As I'm hearing him speak, I'm thinking, ooh, wrong time, wrong place, buddy. This is not the moment for that. These people, their feelings are just way too raw. This is, somebody described this as a giant Irish wake. People had been drinking, smoking non-tobacco substances. It was just this kind of event. I mean, it was just a outpouring of emotion, and they didn't want to hear that. But here's the second thought I thought. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Aren't things like love and understanding and compassion Christian virtues? Isn't that what our word tells us to do? For most of us, though, it's not about terrorists attacking us, but can be about a coworker, an ex-spouse, an abusive or negligent parent. There's somebody who has harmed us, who has wounded us. And what do we want to do? We want to strike back in some way, even if it's just with our words. But if we want to have peace on earth, We have to have peace with others. And if we want that, we have to learn to extend grace. The grace that was given to us by Jesus. We have to learn how to give that grace to those who have hurt us. Why do we struggle so much with that? Why is that hard to give grace to people, to forgive? Jesus told the parable of the what's known as the unforgiving servant. What happened is a master, a boss, somebody, he calls in one of his guys who owed him like millions of dollars, the equivalent. He says, time to pay up. Bank is calling in your loan. Time to pay it back. The man said, he didn't have it. He didn't have it, and he begged for mercy. He begged for more time. Please, please, please. And the master was moved. And he said, you know what? Forget it. I forgive you the debt. You don't owe me anything. And the first thing that man did was he ran out and he found somebody who owed him just about a day's wage. Said, you need to pay it? The man said, I don't have it. Give me more time. Give me some options. No, you're not. And he had the man thrown into a debtor's prison. And when the boss man heard about this, he called him in and said, whoa, no, 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 no. Now, why was this man who was forgiven so much, so quick to make someone else pay up? One author suggests this, that the man could not comprehend the forgiveness of the debt. He was just sure that he still owed it. And he better start rounding up as much money as he could. The problem, I think, that so often times we have trouble extending grace to others is because we have trouble extending grace to ourselves. Of truly grasping what that grace means. So we have to find out how to do this. And where do we get this peace? For ourselves, then, where do we get this grace? It overflows from grace with God. God's grace and the peace that he brings to us. It's this peace that he brings. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What we have to do is understand that Jesus wants to take that heavy burden off of us and give us a yoke of grace. Now, a yoke was something that bound two animals together. And he said, come and walk with me. Be in a relationship with me and you will find that load lightened. My yoke is a yoke of grace, a yoke of peace. You don't have to strive any longer to try to prove yourself. So we have to learn how to take this grace and apply it to our past. Those memories that haunt us of our actions, things we said, things we did, that still to this day kind of rummage around in our brain and come up at certain points to antagonize us. We have to apply grace to our present right now and say, you know what? You are enough in Jesus. And we have to apply grace to our future, that knowing that whatever happens, we are loved by God. If the holy and perfect and righteous creator of the universe can extend grace to you and to me, who are you and I to withhold it from ourselves? Who do we think we are that we cannot forgive ourselves? I know it can be hard and easy, and sometimes it's helpful to work with someone else who can help you see that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that you do not have to earn God's grace, earn his love. Paul also wrote to the Romans, said, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Peace with ourselves ultimately requires peace with God. Where does this peace come from? Paul goes on to say, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ doesn't say, you know, get your act together, then I'll die for you. Clean up your act. Come on. Start living a perfect life, and then my love will be good enough for you. He meets us where we are. So I invite you, encourage you, implore you to accept God's grace as a gift this Christmas. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay, that's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for this performance, that is a prize. When a person receives an appropriate recognition for his or her long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor. I'm not sure who wrote that, but that's a wonderful thought to think about. That's what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. It is a gift for you to open or not open. The choice is yours. But his love is there. And Christmas reveals that. And in this moment now, we invite you to consider that gift, whether you have ever opened it or not. And to consider it in this way, to look at the emblems we're about to take, the bread and the cup, and to see in them the means of this gift, Jesus himself. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we can understand that if we are to have peace on earth, it has to begin with peace with you that we can then extend to other people. Help us, Father. Whatever war might be waging in our own souls, to come to a point of surrender and acceptance of the love and grace that you want to give us. Help us to see that exemplified in these reminders of the sacrifice of Jesus. And we pray this now in Jesus' name.